Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of where you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordsman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So, amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you today for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another God, an opportunity you have given us to go into your word. And Lord, we dare not make this journey without you. So Lord God, our request to you is that your spirit would accompany us this day and bless us as we go into the word of God today. And Lord God, bless us with understanding and revelation knowledge in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will word my mouth to rightly divide your word and to bring the word of truth to those who are listening. I pray that every soul and every heart that is tuned into this broadcast would hear in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, and as they seek your face, that they may find it, that they may find the truth, and that the truth will set them free. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Once again, thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. And hallelujah. I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And before I go any further, for those of you who are first-time listeners to us on this broadcast, especially as I do this message tonight, not only will you hear me come with the scripture from the Bible, but you will also hear me come with scriptures from two other books that goes with the Bible called The Word of the Lord and The Record of the Nephite. Now, if you want to hear more on these two books, on this page, if you're listening to me on this page where there's a picture of a little Bible in the right-hand side, click on it, a drop box will show, and click on episodes. And it will show you all the episodes, all the broadcasts we have done since we've been on Blog Talk. And then if you on a page where you see the God's Word to Man logo, you should be able to click on that and go to the episodes also. When you go to episodes, look for the broadcast that's titled The Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. Signs of the Restoration and Restitution. And look for the broadcast that's titled, How Did the Record of Nephi Come Forth? And those broadcasts will elaborate and talk to you more about the book called The Record of Nephi. When you want to hear more on the Word of the Lord book, go to the broadcast that's titled, Jesus Communicating to Man Through Angelic Visitation. Another one is, How Can I Know If These Messages Are From God? And then you can listen to also the End Time Work Restitution, Restoration, to hear a little bit more on this book called The Word of the Lord. Amen. Well, both of them are books of the Word of God that goes with the Bible. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, I know what some of you perhaps are saying, and I want to mention that because you're going to hear me come with scriptures from those two books besides the Bible. Now, once again, I know what some of you may be saying. You say, hey, I only know the Bible. The Bible is all I know. And I agree with you. That is all you know, okay? And when I was growing up, that's all I knew was the Bible. But once again, the Bible is not the only book of God's word. Now, does that mean every book that comes forth to claim be of God is of God? No, it don't. Okay? And the word of God from the Bible lets you know how to tell whether something's from God or not. But however, you may say, well, if this be the case, and these other two books is also contain the word of God, we already got a Bible, what's the purpose of the other two books? Well, when you go to the Bible, remember God's protocol, and found in Deuteronomy 17, Deuteronomy 19, Matthew chapter 18, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where he said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So the Bible is one witness of God's dealing with man and the giving of his commandments and his laws to mankind. Okay? The record of Nephi is another witness, because in the Bible came by the way of the Jews. The record of Nephi came by the way of the Nephites, who were also of the house of Israel, who was also of the house of Joseph. Okay? And then the word of the Lord is another witness of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angelic messenger, the Elijah. Therefore, God is following his protocol in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Glory be to God. So I wanted to throw that out there. Amen. Now, having said that, now we're ready to go on to tonight's message. And the title of this message tonight is Famines in the End Time. Famines in the End Time. Famines, famines, famines. This is another thing Jesus said will come to pass. And let's look at this word from the word of God and see what Jesus is telling us. Now, for those of you that have been listening, you know that as of late, with these past, few series, we've been looking at the word of God concerning the threefold question that the disciples asked Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew, where they asked and said, when will these things be? What will be the sign of the end of the world and the time of the sign of your coming? And Jesus, in that 24th chapter, began to answer that threefold question by listing events or things that will happen. He did not give them a date. He did not say that these things will happen July the 17th, so and so and so and so. He did not say my sign of my coming will be October the 13th, so and so. He didn't do that. Well, what he did was to answer their question, he told them about events and things that will happen. Amen. And so this is why we need to follow and look at the events. So we have been looking at what Jesus said would come to pass in these last days. Now, once again, Lord say the same. You'll hear me tonight come with, I'm going to go into the scriptures and possibly or hopefully type in on some research to read to you. If I don't get to that, Lord say the same, might me get a chance to finish tomorrow. But I want to start off. Now, for those of you that have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21. The book of Luke, chapter 21. For those of you that have your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter 21, and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Luke 21. And if you don't have your Bibles, okay, hallelujah, just listen along with us. And whatever you hear, take it to the Lord Jesus. Amen. The book of Luke chapter 21, verse 10 and 11. Verse 11 will be our key verse of what we're looking at tonight. And the word of God says, then said he, which is Christ, unto them, which is the disciples, he said, nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Okay? Now, the first thing I want you to turn your attention to is the two words, shall. Okay, shall, for one word shall rise or shall be. Now, Jesus is definitely letting you know that these things are going to happen. Now, I said that in the other broadcast. I'm saying this again to hopefully that it will stick to someone who may be thinking perhaps that this is going to be missed, that it's not going to happen. But rest assured, understand this, that Jesus is not like man. Now, me and anybody else, we're subject to say something like that and pretty much at times miss it, okay, to a point where we have to come back to you and say, hey, well, I thought so-and-so and I thought. But when Jesus said it shall be and shall rise and stuff, that means it's going to happen, okay? It's going to happen. Jesus is not like scientists who try to talk about certain things and say, well, it might and probably. See, when you hear in man's, one of the things about the difference between Jesus' language and man language, that man uses a lot of might and probably and possibly could be. Jesus used language where he knows, like he definitely knows what he's talking about, and he pretty much do, okay? So one of the things he said, that there shall be great earthquakes in diverse places, and then he said, and famines. Famines. So what we want to do next is that let's explore and look at what is famines. Let's define it. And we're going to look at defining the word famines from two sources, a Bible concordance and the dictionary. Amen. Now, the word famine, and since, and understand this, Luke is not the only one to record Jesus said famines, but also Matthew and Mark. So this word famine here, we're looking at being here in the New Testament, which means that we would look under the Greek to see what was the original word there, hallelujah, for famine. Glory be to God. And we find out that the original Greek word that was there before it was translated famine is limos, limos. And limos means, get this, through the idea of destitution, a scarcity of food. It means a dearth, a famine, a hunger. So actually the Greek word for famine does mean famine, but it also means a scarcity of food. Jesus said there's going to be scarce food. There's going to be little or lacking of food, okay? That's what a famine, one of the things a famine is dealing with, okay? Now, let's go to Webster and look at the word famine. And according to Webster, the word famine means an extreme scarcity of food. So according to Webster, a famine is not just scarce of food, but it is an extreme scarcity of food. Okay? It also means starvation. So according to what we understand a famine is, a famine is a lack of food, a scarcity of food, where it can get to a point where there is starvation, okay? Now, Jesus said, people, that this will happen, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Now, remember, in the beginning of the broadcast, I just point out to you, when Jesus says, shall rise, shall be something, shall, you can put your money on it. It's going to happen. Once again, he's not like us. He's not subject to come back and say, you know, I really missed that. And, you know, I thought it was going to happen, but it didn't happen. No, you'll never find Jesus saying that. That's why he's all-knowing. And that's why we're not all-knowing. So we're subject, because we're not all-knowing, we're subject to say something that possibly we think we know and can miss it and have to come back to the person and say, hey, I thought it's going to happen. I thought it's going to do this. I thought that, but I was wrong. You would never have to worry about finding that with Jesus. So when he said there shall be famines, you can put the bank on it, okay? So Jesus said there are going to be scarcity of food, extreme scarcity of food. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And shut the glory. And it's been happening through time. We even see it now. And there are some countries where there is hardly no food. Okay? But see, this thing is traveling where it's peaking out to hit the whole world. See, they're just like, for example, whether many of y'all believe it or not, here in the United States, yeah, put your ear up to the place, to the phone, or wherever you listen to me on the laptop. Put your ear up to this real close, because I don't want you to miss it. Now, if you got anything cooking on the stove, run in there right quick and see can you turn the eye off on it, because what I'm about to say, okay, I want your uninvited attention, so you won't be telling nobody what he said, so I don't know what he said. This is what I wanted to tell you. In the good old USA, whether you believe it or not, heading to a food shortage. Now, I just went silent for a minute to let that sink in. Because some of y'all possibly listening, your mouth probably flew open. And other y'all that heard it said, man, you don't know what you're talking about, man. We United States, man. We got food up all over the place. What you talking about, man? You don't know what you're saying. Yes. And get this. You ready for this? The government knows about this. Yeah. You might think they don't, but they do. So you say, well, why are they not telling the people? Because they're worried about a big-time panic, okay? Yeah. Because you're going to tell people, hey, we having a food shortage. We about to run out such time. People finna take the matter in their own hands. So if you own a store, you know what I'm about to say. Don't be surprised you're trying to come to the next morning, your door hanging off. Your windows bust out, you ain't got a food left in the place, and if you do, got some food is all on the floor. Amen. I remember back here some years ago, that'd be like 16, 17 years ago, I think, when they were talking about it was going to be a gas shortage. You know, and man, people were just running. Man, there were so many lines in front of the store pumps, it wasn't funny. You couldn't hardly get gas nowhere. And like if down here, you in here in Mississippi, if you start telling people about a big snowstorm coming, oh, you can, whoa, boy. Walmart can't open the door fast enough. You understand what I'm saying? They can't open the door fast enough. Hallelujah. So Jesus says there are going to be a scarcity of food, an extreme scarcity of food. And see, what's happened to us in the United States, see, we're so used to hearing other countries facing this, and many of them is. We don't think, nah, not the good old U.S. U.S. is kingpin. No, not here. I'm telling you, we're heading to a food shortage. Okay? We are. And whether you believe it or not, this country is one of the biggest wasters of food in the world. Okay? We're so up in pride about ourselves, we will cook food that'll last for 3 days, and we'll eat it in one day and throw 2 days' worth away. And then be complaining, I ain't got no money for no food. Well, you just threw it away. You threw it away. And now we finna see, huh? Some of y'all that claim that you wouldn't eat a leftover, I'm not a leftover eater.
Well, watch when the hard time, this harder time finna hit now. You're going to be glad to eat leftover for today, tomorrow, the next day, and the day after that. That roast that you cook is going to be whatever meat you want each day. You're going to be eating on that roast. Because, see, we're spoiled here in America. The people in the mother country that got scarcity of food, they gonna eat all their food they can eat up. Be up there just throwing food away. We sit up there, like I said, we'll cook 3 days worth of food, eat 1 day worth, and throw 2 days away. That's what we do. And then we the same one complaining, they ain't got enough money. We ain't got enough food. Well, we throwing it away. Now, there's some tides that finna hit. You're going to wish, man, all that food I had, I should have never thrown it away. You're going to wish, and then you're going to learn. You're going to learn concerning the food. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go to the scripture. You know, I will hear people say, we grew up poor. Poor, we didn't hardly have no food. We didn't have no shoe. Okay, I understand that. And then when they get grown and come into a good job and making money, they just blow money. And the first thing they say was, I couldn't get the things I want when I was little, but I'm going to get it now. Okay. And they blow money. And they think that makes it better. But my question is this. When you was in the, quote, poverty, what did you learn? Okay. What did you learn? If you learned anything, and you should have, but maybe you wouldn't, maybe you were too much, you know, in the wrong mood. I understand poverty and now have no food. It, you know, it's discouraging and all that. But one of the things you should have learned is how to save food, not to waste it. So I say to some people sometimes they use that as an excuse to blow money or to blow money on their children because they tell me, I couldn't get them and I was little. I'm going to make sure my children have everything. I said, okay, so since you're talking about when you were little, you couldn't get it, did you learn anything from the poverty? Because something you should have learned. I'm not saying everybody should be broke and scraggling and stuff like that, but I'm saying that there was something to learn. One thing about it, if you really watch that, you learn how to not just throw food away. Hallelujah. I want to come with a scripture from the book called The Record of the Nephite. One of these books I mentioned to you. Amen. Hallelujah. And once again, the record of Nephi is another witness of God dealing with man and giving his commandment and his words to man over here on this continent during this prehistoric time. Jesus even came over here on this continent after his resurrection. Amen. And so I want to read a scripture to you that was recorded out of the record of Nephi from one of God's servants here. And it's referred to the book of Ether here in the Nephi record. And I think it was recorded by a servant of the Lord named Mormon. But I want to read to you what he said. He said, and there came prophets in the land again, saying or crying, repentance unto them, unto the people over here, that they must prepare the way of the Lord, or there shall come a curse upon the face of the land. Yea, even there shall be a great famine in the which they should be destroyed if they did not repent. A famine is not a blessing. A famine is a curse. Okay? So you say, why is these things that Jesus is mentioning, why is it coming upon the land? Why is it happening? Because of sin. Because of the evil. Amen. Think about it. How many of y'all in reading the Bible have you read in heaven where God at that there were earthquakes, wars, famines? How many of y'all read that? I guarantee you, you read the Bible, ain't none of y'all read that. And the last war they had in heaven, God made sure he got rid of that quick. Why did they have that whole war in heaven? Because there were evil present. And the evil was coming against that which was right. So God cleansed that house quick. So now when you have, quote, good and evil, especially here on earth, you're going to have a war, especially when evil rising up as it is. And then when you have sin running rampant all over the place, you have consequences that come from sin. See, the Bible tells us in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. That means that there's a consequence that comes from the planting of seed of sin. You get that? You know, people think that when they go commit sin, that nothing should happen. They think nothing should happen. God loves me. He loves me. He cares for me. Okay? They think nothing should happen. So they lied on this particular application or whatever, and now when they found out about it, they got a lot of money from their lie, and all of a sudden, the government, whoever, is getting them now and making them pay not only the money back for interest and all that, and they're going bonkers and saying, Lord, why won't you deliver me and all that stuff? Well, guess what? That came from the result of lying, okay? Now, according to the recording of the Ether, Book of Ether here, that the people in the land over here at that particular time was in sin. And the prophets of the Lord was being sent by the Lord to cry repentance unto the people. What? Sound familiar today, don't it? God has his prophets, got his servants, got his children going out even into this land of America telling the people to repent. And what has happened? The people have turned a deaf ear. And they doing like in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, when they started abusing and beating and killing the prophets that God was sending to the land to tell the people to repent. Amen. And there's the same happening all over the world and including this nation. Some of God's people are getting physically beat, stoned, and some of them getting beat down and stoned with words. And you think that everything's supposed to run smooth. Well, your thought pattern is wrong. And Jesus is letting you know that. These famines. So just in case any of you was sitting there wondering, well, why are these famines coming? Jesus, you can stop this. Why is it coming? Because remember, the word of God shows you the law of restitution and restoration. And the law of restitution and restoration is not always a return is good. You sow evil, evil come back. Hmm? When you kick the Lord, quote, kick the Lord God out of your school from prayer, you stopping kids from praying to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're talking about, well, that violate constitutional right. They should be able to pray to whoever. So if they want to pray to a dog, let them pray to a dog. Their religion, and you all of a sudden you stopping them from praying to the Father and talking about, no, we ain't going to use Jesus. We ain't going to do that. You're wrong. Well, guess what, people? When you put Jesus out of something, guess what happens? Things don't run smooth. No way. It's not running smooth. And we in America especially crying like we been done wrong by the Lord when we have done him wrong. And see, we have become lifted in pride. Some of us talk about the government and say, well, I don't look to the government for none. But when the smoke clears, we actually look to them for a whole lot. So whatever they say is bond. So when you start, people like me start telling you, say, it's famine, we're heading to a food shortage, some that is listening get buck-eyed and start looking at him, looking and start saying, man, I'm about to click this thing. This man crazy. We're the biggest nation we are, we ain't going to never run out of no food. Okay. Okay. Keep thinking that. Now, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures from the book called The Word of the Lord. Another witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord that he sent through his angel messenger, D. Elijah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Elijah. Boalabashita. March 29, 1931. Called the 25th message. The 25th time that he sent his angel messenger, the Elijah. Please hear these words. He said, the Lord has sent me to warn the nations. And this is what the angel of the Lord said. And after this warning will come destruction, wars, pestilence, famine, and earthquakes as never have been, for the Lord wants a holy people. Did you hear that? See, and that list was famine. Okay? He said, as never have been. So there have been some famine before, but he's talking about these will be greater. Amen. I mean, haven't some of y'all heard some of the older people say, I ain't never seen days like this. You know, we had some hot day, we had some, but I ain't never seen like this. Why? Because as the closer we come to the end time and the return of Christ, things get greater. It gets greater, people. Now, technology has helped in some areas, but we think that technology is just going to help us in everything. It's not. It's not. And see, man, keep forgetting that technology even itself is limited, just like who? Like man. Okay? Very limited. And we have, many of us have, especially many young folks, have made technology like it is God on earth. And we look at some of you that if you ain't into the technology, it's something wrong with you. The Lord said there's going to be a famine as never before. Wow. Did you hear that? As never before now. Amen. Hallelujah. That means that it was famine before, but this is going to be greater. Okay? Famines. Once again, like I said, we used to these other countries. But see, what is going to make these famines more noticeable is that it's going to hit in areas that is not common. Remember the example I gave you about the earthquakes. Well, if somebody came to you and said, hey, California had an earthquake, you know, you might go, yeah, because they're known for earthquakes. But if they sit up there and tell you that so-and-so Michigan had an earthquake, you go, what? There ain't no common place to have no earthquake. What are you talking about? That would get your more attention than, you know, people just tell you just California because you used to, here in California, having earthquakes. And see, the thing about these famines is that they also going to appear in places that it normally don't be. That's what's going to be grasping men's attention now. See, just like now, countries that we're used to seeing have famines do not draw much attention. It draws very, very little attention. There's very, very few even missionaries who have been going over there trying to get food for people that starve. Thank the Lord for them. But once again, it does not draw a lot of attention. Even on the news, every now and then, they may pass information along about a country over there, another country starving and stuff like that. But when it's a place that it has commonly happened, it doesn't draw much attention. Now, when it starts hitting places that it commonly don't be, watch how much attention it'll get. It'll get people's attention then. Because they hear, what, a famine, where? Amen. Just imagine if the so-called scientists and government came to the people here in the United States and tell them, say, hey, it's going to be a famine next week. You think that ain't going to get the people attention? Well, if you don't think so, like I said, if you got a store, when you close up, the day they tell them and you close up that night, only thing I can say to you is don't be surprised if your store is not in any good shape when you come the next morning. Amen. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture from the word of the Lord here. And it comes out what is called the 52nd message. Okay? The 52nd message, which the Lord sent this message October the 4th, 1941. October the 4th, 1941. Amen? And remember, as I told you, the Lord sent this message. Because you got to keep in mind now, angels of the Lord is on God's appointment time. It's up to God's appointment book. So when he said, hey, Gabriel, look, going down there tomorrow, they're not on our appointment timetable. Okay? Angels is not going to come just when you want them to come. They're not going to be a yo-yo for me, you, or anybody. Because you know how we get stressed out. We'll be calling one every day. You know, every day. Come on here, man. Come on. And what will happen, instead of depending upon the Spirit of God, we will start depending on angels. I bet some of you think that couldn't happen with people. I'm telling you. People can become subject to more wanting an angel than listening to the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, just like here in the Church Christ Alive message that I'm a member of, the Lord been sending his angel with messages, but some people got off track because they kept saying, we need an angel to come, we need an angel to come. But if you're born again, you got the Holy Ghost. See, the Lord will send an angel at the time he feels it's the time. But see, people was more dependent on, got to see an angel, got to see the angel. They begin, hey, you got the Holy Ghost in you, okay? You got to wait to have to see the angel all the time. The Holy Ghost will give you a word or direction in, okay? Now, he says in his 52nd message, he said, this is the day of judgments, and the famines, pestilence, and plagues will come and have come, as I told you. There will be suffering because of the evil one to deceive and hinder. Men will oppose the hand that feeds them. They will mistrust their fellows because of the evil and unrest among them. You hear that? The Lord said famines, pestilence, and plagues will come and have come. That's two different tenses, people. Past. Then you got the future. And remember, these things Jesus is speaking about has to be until what? He returned. So you done had famines, wars, earthquakes, you name it, throughout time, throughout generations, coming all the way up to the last one before Christ returned. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, amen. Hallelujah. So these famines, Jesus said it's going to happen. It shall. Not no might, it shall. Because some of us have read history of famines, what, 100 years, 200 years ago, stuff like that, and we thinking, oh, it's past, it ain't happening no more. It's going to happen, people. See, this is the reason why, amen, hallelujah. In fact, I want to read one more verse, and one more verse come to me out of the word of the Lord, and I ask that you once again give your undivided attention, and please hear this. This is a warning for the Lord. He said, warn ye the people that they may till the soil, for famine will come, and many things that shall make people idle and no work, and all those that shall not seek to supply themselves with the fruits of the soil will suffer. Did you hear that? I hope that you hear that. Did you hear that? People, listen. Look at your grocery store. Look at these prices going up. Look at this inflation, okay? Now, understand this. It ain't like back in the day. Back in the days, like, let's say if you could buy bread for 80 cents, if it do go up, it might go up, what, 82, 83 cents? No, we getting big jumps, people. big jumps in prices. And I have told different people on my job, listen, if you got a garden, you got some land which you can make a garden, please do it, okay? Supply yourself with the fruits of the soil and all that. But I'm going to tell you, because this is what the word of the Lord said. He said, because famine will come. And like I told you, he ain't just talking about in nations where you know it regularly comes or has been. He's talking about in places where it's not familiar that the famine's going to hit. Now, once again, you can ignore the message. That's your choice. The Lord is not going to force you to hear it. And definitely Brother Nate is not going to force you, because the Lord didn't say, force anybody to hear this word. No. Okay? He said many things that shall make people idle and no work. Did you hear that? See, the point going to come, we're going to be no work. Okay? It's coming to that point, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I was doing some research, looking up, and I want to read to you what I discovered, some things that was listed that will cause famines. Listen to this list. Number one, war, natural disasters, failure, get this, population imbalance, widespread poverty, economic collapse, government policies. These things right here can contribute to famines. So when you talk about famines, these things going to be involved also, that's going to help contribute to it. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, amen, people. My God, I mean, Lord have mercy on us. Amen. I remember, as some of y'all have heard my testimony, I remember back in the year 2008, as plain as day. And early up in the year, I think it was somewhere around May or something like that, the Lord gave me a dream. And in this dream, we was in this town, and this town is about 10 minutes away from here now. We was like, and one of the people I recognized was a brother, is a brother in the church. He was in there too. But we was in like this basketball gym, and there was a lot of people in the basketball gym in the bleachers. And as I was standing up in the gym, I look up, it's like the top of the roof just opened before my eyes that I can see outside. And I saw a storm. I saw it brewing like, you know, like a tornado in the air or something. And I remember in there, I told the people, I don't know, did I have an intercom or some kind of mic or something, but I told the people a storm is coming. And I looked at how they reacted. They reacted like, I think some of them even just kept on talking, like they was ignoring me. And so when I woke up from the dream, the Spirit of the Lord spoke in my spirit, and he said, warn the people that a storm is coming. And this is around about, I think, May or something that year. And so we had a church assembly coming in June. And I had told some people, I think I had told some people on my job. And then I was at the church assembly. I told some of the people there, church assembly, what the Lord gave me. And so we had the church assembly in June that year. So around about, I say July, maybe August, the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me again. And this verse I just read to you from the word of the Lord, where the Lord said, warn the people to till the ground, for a famine will come, and many things that will make people idle and no work. And the Lord told me, gave it, and dealt with me with that scripture and told me to warn the people again. I knew in my spirit something big was going to happen. I didn't know what it was, but I can sense it in my spirit. And I remember saying it to the Lord. I said, Lord, what is it? I said, something. I said, this is the second time this year, you know, that you warned me. And see, you let me know a storm was coming. And I did gather in my spirit, he wasn't just talking about a literal storm. I know I saw a storm forming in that dream, like a tornado, but when you see tornadoes and stuff in the dream, it's not always literal. Sometimes literal, but sometimes is a figurative meaning, and the storms can never represent the storms of life, things that was going to happen in his life. So when he let me know for the second time, which was around August, maybe September, August or September that year, and for many of y'all that are familiar with that year, George Bush was getting ready to come out of office. Barack Obama won the presidency, and he hadn't even got a chance to step into office. And I think, what, late October, early November of 2008, what happened? All them jobs went out. All them jobs went out. Boom. Okay? Even people that was into the stock market and all that, there were some people committing suicide. They lost all their money and stuff like that. I mean, disaster. Okay? And I said, Lord, that's what you was letting me understand. Amen. Word got scarce. And the Lord blessed me to be able to remain on my job. Okay? And my kids, at that time, the oldest one was 15, I think, at that time, when that happened. And you got like 15, one was 12, the other was what, 9, and then one was like 7 years old. So I had not small kids, but regularly almost small kids. But the Lord kept me. But the impact that year, and I saw why the Lord said, okay, and he let me know, so you need to save, okay, and supply yourself with the fruits of the soil. And I understood that now. Then I said, when that happened. And so that word's still valid today, people. Jesus said there will be famines in this end time. Famines in this end time. Please heed the warning. Because Jesus said, if you don't, you're going to suffer. Okay? You're going to suffer. See, we got to understand, when you warn of things, especially by the Lord, stuff like that, and you won't heed it, everything ain't going to go happy-go-lucky. You know, there's going to be a consequence you suffer for that, but not heeding, okay? And he said in these end times, there shall be famines. Amen. It's definitely going to happen, people. I mean, you know, some of y'all listen and say, oh, you just a doomsday preacher. Well, you can call me what you want to, but that's the word of God. Amen. And he wants people warned, so I'm warning. And you can best believe. You can best believe it's going to happen. It already happened in time past. It's going to happen. These things are to happen until Christ returns. And people think that everything, if it's going to go well here on earth, well, no, I'm sorry. It's not. Because there's so much evil, ungodliness, unrighteousness, sin, wickedness here. God is not going to let the wicked prosper, per se, and have a good old jolly time doing their own thing, and then when they die, go to heaven and be in heaven. No way. No way. Because that which is lost and fallen can't fit up there in heaven. It'll do just like Lucifer, try to get stuff started. God let you know I'm not having that in my house. Amen. He'll tell you in a minute. He let you know he's not having it in his house. We read the last man to try to do it. Amen. Him and his boys got kicked out. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, lightning strikes kind of fast, you know. You ever look at him and saw lightning strike it, poof, that real quick. Well, he let you know how it was. Won that battle where everybody dragging on the ground and the good guy's going, I'm wounded, but I got enough to fight in me to take him out. No, it wasn't like that. Notice that Mike and his angel fought against the devil and his angel. He didn't say God straightway. It wouldn't have been no fight. If the Lord straightway were fighting the devil, it wouldn't be no fight. It wouldn't have been no fight at all. He think he saw some, he felt some pain when Michael whooped him. If Michael whooped him, you can imagine if he was trying to fight God straight up. Oh, my goodness, man. No. That ain't even, as they say, that's not even worth watching the fight on the TV, okay? Because you know it's going to be brutal. It's not going to, hey, it's not going to be hitting on nothing, okay? Amen. So I'm going to stop here today. I'm going to come with another section of series tomorrow. And what I may do, Lord say the same, is a couple of reports in connection with this famine. I wanted to read to you, and I haven't got to read to in this today, so I may add it on to the new message I'm going through, Lord Say Saint Damar, titled Pestilence in the End Time. And so I might start off reading the two researches about the famine in that section there. Amen. Glory be to God. So thank God for the blessed word. Let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we thank you for this blessed day, Christ Jesus, and all glory and honor and praise go to thee. We lift you up. We magnify you because you're worthy to be praised and be glorified. So, Lord God, we thank you. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you gave me to be able to give your word to those that are listening. I pray that they have heard, and I pray that they be strengthened in Jesus Christ. And, Lord God, we give you all the glory and all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. So I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. So once again, to the Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, may God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.